Welcome to the program, The EU and the World.
L'Europa e il mondo.
The podcast series of the Jean Monnet Chair, EU to Luck.
Hello, welcome back to EU and the World, L'Europa e il mondo, the podcast series of the Jean Monnet Chair, EU to Luck. Today, it is my pleasure to welcome our last but certainly not least speaker of the series for this year. This is Professor Lidija Kos-Stanisic of the University of Zagreb in Croatia. Lidija, you're welcome to the program.
Nice to be here.
Thank you. Lidija, your expertise is on the Caribbean, a region of the world that is not very well known, especially here in Europe. So what can you tell us about the Caribbean as a region, its historical development and its situation?
First, it's very difficult to explain or to have a definition about the Caribbean because we have two definitions. One is the political one and the other one is a geographical one. So if we are speaking about the political one, we know that we had a region called Latin America, consists with 20 states with Romanes-speaking languages as Spanish, Portuguese, and French. But after the Second World War and a period of decolonizations, we got 13 new states, 12 of them speaking English and one speaking Dutch. So definitely not the Romanes language. So the region was called Latin America and the Caribbean. But this region, besides these 13 new independent states, we had lots of dependent territories of the European countries as the Netherlands, France, and also the United Kingdom. So it's extremely difficult to have some kind of exactly definition. Also, it's very difficult to define the region because not everybody agrees where it begins and where it ends. Especially, there is some, experts who are saying that it's same like a beauty, is in the eye of the beholder. But more or less, everybody agrees that there are islands in the Caribbean Sea. Sometimes they include the islands which are in Atlantic, as Bermuda and Turks and Caicos. Sometimes they include also the Belize and Guyana and the Suriname. And sometimes there is even possibility to include the Venezuela and the Colombian coast. So more or less, we have a Spanish Caribbean, we have a French Caribbean, we have a Dutch Caribbean, and also we have U.S. Caribbean.
That's really a complex situation. And what's the situation today in the Caribbean? Is it a stable part of the world? Because it's a very complex and...
Well, the experts are saying this is one of the most complex region in the world because of the interference of the external powers. Mm. So from the beginning of the 16th century until today, we have like Spaniards, we have a French, we have a Dutch, we have a British influence. And then from the 19th century, we have U.S. influence. So everybody is fighting to get piece of the islands or piece of the land. So they all have dependent territories and also independent territories. They have more or less the similar history. So European conquerors. So they have slavery because there was no enough indigenous population. They have like a main economy, plantations, and sugar was considered to be a white gold. So five to six million of the African slaves were imported there. So they have same history.
Absolutely. I think the key word here is probably variety. Yes. It's not only a complex region, but it's also very varied.
Yes.
And this podcast series and the whole Jean Monnet Chair is actually dealing with the role of the European Union at the global level. So what does the European Union do in the Caribbean and with Caribbean countries?
Well, the European Union is very much involved in this part of the world. First, we have to tell you that Western European borders are not in Portugal, as we are normally thinking, but in Western Hemisphere, because the European Union has territories in the Caribbean. So this is very important for European. So this is outermost regions, and this is mostly the French territories as Martinique, Guadeloupe, Saint Martin, and also French Guiana. But also we have these overseas territories, which are mostly dealing with the Kingdom of the Netherlands. And Europeans are really trying to help these territories. Even they are part of the Europe, they are not so developed as Europe. So lots of European funds and programs are dealing especially with the Caribbean. So I have to tell you that even the Caribbean territories, with, let's say the dependent one, are much less developed than the European part. They're like heaven from the other states, especially the sovereign islands. And today, all these islands, which are dependent territories, they are not even more interested to be independent, because to be a part of the European Union, the life is much easier. To have a euro as a currency, to have European pastor, it makes your life much more easier than without it.
Absolutely. Well, that's good to hear that Europe has a positive influence in the Caribbean, and that the European Union is very much present and welcome in this part of the world.
Yes, even in French Guiana, we had this space station, and this is extremely important because it's located very, very near to equator, and this is the best position to have a space station. And this is our only European space station.
Excellent. And to conclude, a question that we cannot escape. In your view, what is the future of these territories and this region of the Caribbean?
Well, if you ask me, I do not think that they will change their position. They are very quite satisfied with their position, because to have opportunity to be European citizens, even some territories are not part of the EU, but just by owning the citizenship of the Netherlands, they are the citizens of the European Union. It's great to have a possibility for the European funds and for the funds for your motherland, and your life is much more easier than the life in the rest of independent countries. So if you ask me, they will stay in the same space, in the same location, and European Union extremely happy to have these territories, which moves the territory of the European Union westward. So we are part of the Western Hemisphere. We have borders we don't even think with the Brazil. We have borders with Venezuela, and we have borders with the United States.
That's very interesting. That's a fantastic perspective. And it's great to know that there is a mutual satisfaction. So the EU is happy to have these territories, and these territories are happy to be related either directly or indirectly to the European Union. And are you optimistic about their future economic and social development?
Well, I'm very optimistic. I know that they are not so developed as European territories, but regarding with the funds they are getting, the tourism is very popular in some of the islands. And I really do think that with all this help, they will be very satisfied living in the European Caribbean.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Lidia Kostanisic, for being with us today and for this very interesting overview on the Caribbean region and its relationship with the European Union. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody. This is the last episode for this year's series of the podcast The EU and the World, L'Europa e il Mondo, of the Jean Monnet Chair EU to Luck. But stay tuned, because we will come next year with more episodes and more chapters devoted to understanding and studying the role of the European Union in the international system. Thank you. Goodbye.